It's time to get up and get your day started.
Morant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
What's up, Memphis? Good morning. Welcome in. Happy Thursday to you. Time for another edition of Sports 56 Mornings, the Thursday, May 2nd, 2024 edition, to be precise. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you, broadcasting live from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, spring sale continues. It marches right along with direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, patio furniture, just about everything they have in stock. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Check them out this weekend. Also, the first hour of the program brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Currently 67 degrees. We're looking at another warm day. Boy, it got hot yesterday. 87 today for a high with a mixture of clouds and sun, followed by the possibility of a stray shower or thunderstorm. About a 25% chance. Now, a better chance. In fact, a good chance for rain tomorrow. Your Friday looks to be wet with a high of 79. Tonight, by the way, 67 degrees with some rain rolling in. So again, take advantage of the good weather early today, and then the rain will roll in tonight into tomorrow and possibly a little bit on Saturday. Hopefully it will stay away for the Showboats Birmingham Stallions showdown over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Coming up on the program today, speaking of the Showboats, we'll have our weekly Showboats Showcase at 7:30. We'll talk to journeyman offensive lineman Jordan McCray. You talk about having stops. This guy's resume, man, oh man, he's been around and back a few times. We'll talk to him about the challenge this weekend for the Showboats, who have struggled lately, and nobody in the league seems to know the answer to how to beat Birmingham. So we'll talk to Jordan about that. At 8:25, Kerry Miller returns after a vacation. We'll talk to him about Major League Baseball. Lots happening in the world of Major League Baseball, including the big injury to Mike Trout. At 9:05, Holly Whitfield rejoins us. We had her on, several years ago. She's a delight. She's the digital director and a writer at the Daily Memphian, but she has also written a book that is just something that always piques my interest. This will be the fourth different edition of 100 Things to Do in Memphis Before You Die. So she's always adding to the list. I guess things obviously have to come off the list. We'll talk to Holly about that at 9:05. And then the latest on Memphis Tigers basketball, recruiting, coaching, always in the news, always things happening. We'll talk to Parth Upadhyay, the Memphis Tigers basketball beat writer for the Daily Memphian. If you'd like to hit us up, please do. You can do so via the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines by calling in or texting in at 901-360-8255. That's 901-360-8255. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on?
No B issues today. That's good.
Did you see how they honored Matt Hilton aside from throwing out the first pitch?
Did they build a statue of him?
No.
They should.
Close.
They should. It's a bit of, but they should build a beekeeper statue.
He has a baseball card. Tops that quickly has a baseball card.
Good for Matt Hilton.
With Matt Hilton.
Love it.
The beekeeper.
Guy deserves it.
That's his, you know, built-in nickname. That's his occupation, but it's also a great nickname. Matt Hilton, known as the beekeeper. And, he has a Topps baseball card. I don't know how that works. They put it on sale for a while, and I don't know if that's going to be something that you can get at any time or it was just a limited edition. But, yeah, he picked up a baseball card yesterday. Matt Hilton, the beekeeper. NBA playoffs last night sucked. Let's be honest here. There were two games. One game was decided by 34 points, and the other game was decided by 30 points. So if you wanted drama, you needed to watch Chicago PD, because it wasn't coming to you in the form of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, the Celtics Heat game was pretty much over at the end of the first quarter. when it was, what, 41 to 23 or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So not much there. And that, the Heat last night went 3 for 29 from three-point range. So the Heat, like, it's hard to believe that a team that in one game in the series went 23 of 43 can have another game in which they go 3 for 29.
Right.
Like, that seems really hard to do.
Well, it's either all their three-point shooters are hot one game or they're ice cold another game.
After game two, in which they went 23 of 43, the last three games of the series, they win a combined 21 for 90 from three-point range. Mm. I mean, it just doesn't...
It's not going to cut it.
It doesn't compute how you can... Like, you should never... You should not be able to have that big a swing from three-point range from night to night. But three of 29 is unbelievably bad for an NBA team.
It's bad for anybody. It's bad for you and I. Out there on the blacktop, in the schoolyard, shooting baskets, 3 for 29 from three. But that series was basically over before it began. Once you got the news of playoff Jimmy Butler being hurt, not being able to go, the Heat somehow did win a game in Boston. But the Celtics, even without Kristaps Porzingis, is loaded. They win the series 4-1. Derek White, 25 points, continuing his hot streak. Jaylen Brown at 25 points, and now they move on and they await to see who they play after a 34-point win. Not much you could say about that series. Again, Miami last year got to the finals. I've already heard, I think it was Windhorst, maybe it wasn't Windhorst, but somebody from ESPN that said, all right, now Miami's got to, you know, break it up. They're not getting any younger. And you need to go in a different direction. Well, they were in the NBA Finals last year. They didn't have Butler. But, well, I don't know how old Jimmy is now, but he's not ancient yet. You know, Bam's starting to get up there, but he's still an all-star caliber player playing for Team USA this summer. Tyler Hero is really the linchpin, I think, is the guy that is either going to make or break him, I think, in the future. You're going to spend a lot of money on Tyler Hero. He's got to come through. But there are other areas of concern for them. And so we'll see if they are an active team in the offseason with Pat Riley and company.
Well, the one thing about Miami is they always have the ability to attract players mm-hmm. who want to play in Miami.
Right.
So they have that advantage. However, they are in a real salary cap bind. So they have to figure that out. You know, we'll see what they do. But, I mean, most of their guys are not only signed for next year, but the following year as well. So there's not a whole lot of flexibility there. I think they've got, I don't know where they stand as far as what, you know, how many draft picks they have, all of that stuff. But yeah, it's, yes, they went to the NBA Finals last year, but it's one of those things, they barely got into the playoffs. So two straight years where they barely got into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm sure they're looking at other opportunities, but again, when you're just in these salary cap situations, it's not easy.
Well, Hero was out for a good portion of the season. Then in the postseason, they don't have Terry Rozier, who they picked up, and they don't have Jimmy Butler. I don't know if this is... It's hard to say it's not a team that can go to the finals because it went to the finals last year. But you're right. There's a lot of restrictions that are going to limit them from what they can do. But if they're all healthy, running it back with Hero and Butler and Bam, Caleb Martin and some of these other guys, it's not bad. There are other teams that are way worse in their situation, in their predicament, than Miami. The late game, which I had hope for, I had a little excitement to watch, and that went away real quick. What a dud by the Clippers. At home, they lose by 30 to the Mavs. So Luka Doncic, who was questionable with the sprained right knee, had the big wrap during shoot-around, and I thought, okay, maybe he's really hurting where he plays a little bit and has to come out of the game. So I doubt it. Luka in this game from an injury standpoint, and I should not have doubted him. 35 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists. He had said the other night that he needs to do more to contribute to help Kyrie Irving. Well, Luka carried him last night. In the meantime, James Harden, was horrible. Paul George, not much better. The two combined for 6 of 25 from the field. Now, mind you, they don't have Kawhi Leonard, so they're already missing their biggest weapon. Harden and Paul George again, 6 of 25 from the field, 3 of 13 from 3. That's a recipe for disaster.
Does it surprise you that James Harden...
It wasn't Game 7!
He might have thought it was. It's a big Game 5. He's... If you're relying on James Harden in the postseason, it's probably not going to go well for you.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I just, for whatever reason, you know, I got to stop listening to injury reports and things of that nature. You know, here you go. He's all taped up. He's hobbling. I mean, it's Luka. For goodness sakes, he always looks like he's hobbling anyway.
He was also battling an illness.
Well, what was it? The Michael Jordan game last night for Luka? The Luka Doncic game? But that's pretty incredible to be ill, to be hurting, to have the bad ankle, or the bad knee, rather, and go for 35, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. Again, this is in Los Angeles. Steve Ballmer's got to be there, right?
It's been a rough couple of nights in L.A.
It has.
And the folks in L.A. on both sides are going to be looking possibly at some early vacations.
By the way, did you... hear what Charles Barkley said?
I did not.
You know, basically calling out media, calling out fans. And what he says is not wrong, but he's basically going, and I'm paraphrasing here, you guys are idiots if you think it's anybody but the players. It's the players' fault. When a team fails, it's the players' fault. Yes, the players are the ones who play the game. We know that, Charles, but who's the fall guy? It's the coach.
Well, I mean, it's not the media and fans that are firing the coaches.
I know. I'm just saying. Chuck went off.
He should
again.
Be directing it at the GMs and owners that fire the coaches. Like, yeah. If Darvin Ham gets fired, it's not because the media or the fans. It's because what the Lakers front office believes they underachieved.
Zach, can you find Chuck's exact quote?
Same thing with Frank Vogel. Like, it's not going to be because the fans or anything else. It's that if the front office doesn't think he's doing a good enough job.
No, and yeah, I'm sure he understands that as well. But basically, you know, the blame going around, oh, it's Frank Vogel's fault, or it's Darvin Ham's fault, or it's this or that. No, it's pretty obvious that it's the player's fault for the most part. You know, sometimes it's the coach. If they can't get along, if they're not on the same page, that's not going to work. But the bottom line is whether that coach is liked or not, whether they had success during the regular season, if they failed in the postseason, and especially in a situation in Los Angeles where LeBron's time's winding down, there's going to be a fall guy. Now, it hasn't happened yet. Matt Ishbia has not fired Frank Vogel yet. And Jeannie Buss has not fired Darvin Ham yet. I stress the word yet.
Ishbia also was not willing to.
The dreaded vote of confidence?
Give him a vote of confidence during his media session. Although Matt Ishbia, some of the stuff he said yesterday.
I know.
He is, he might be delusional.
That's why, yeah. Well, so is James Jones. See the GM?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things he said as well. Like, he basically said, when we're all healthy, we're all clicking, we're unbeatable. What? Unbeatable? What do you mean? Unbeatable. You got the Charles quote? What do you got, Zach?
Coaching.
Yeah, you know, part of our job, we watch all the games and we watch all the talk shows. You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards because they want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job, which is to tell the truth. And I just want to say this about coaching. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham, or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Chuck needs to come out of his shell. He is so introverted, that guy. He needs to come out and just, you know, shoot from the hip. Every once in a while would be nice. I love it. Every other network, right? Every other network, not the TNT guys. But, yeah, I understand what he's saying, but I don't think he's making it sound like all these media members don't understand. They understand. Everybody understands that it's the damn players.
I don't know who he's talking about, but I don't think anybody's talking about how these rosters are awesome, and if only they had a different coach, they would be winning the championship.
Right.
And there's probably a pretty good chance, again, that the GM is going to be the one that fires the coach. So that's not media. That's not anything else. Like, that's the GM of the team who's firing the coach because they don't think they did a good enough job. And, yeah, that's probably not you're right. It's probably not the coach's fault. But they can't get rid of the entire team.
Now,
so they got to get rid of the coach.
It's not a smart thing for job security if you're Darvin Ham to come out and say what he said about a particular player. While not naming the player, we know he was talking about D'Angelo Russell the other day. That's not real good to throw somebody under the bus, but it seems like in this day and age, coaches or managers, whatever the case may be, they're more willing to be open about things and really get things off their chest. It's almost cathartic to get it off their chest. So that's what he did. But again, nothing has happened yet in either situation. But getting back to the Clippers. You know, one thing is Miami, shorthanded. The series is over. They get blasted by Boston. The other thing is to come home 2-2, the Clippers, after thwarting that great comeback by Dallas in Game 4 in Big D, when they almost blew a 31-point lead, but they made the plays down the stretch and they won the game. Harden was great. Paul George was great. They come back home in front of their deep-pocketed owner, in front of their home fans, and lay a freaking egg like this. We see it so many times in the NBA, more than any other league, in my opinion, that you get these games. I'm not going to sit here and go, well, now absolutely the Clippers lose the series. They can still come back and win the series. But to come back in Game 5 at home, coming off a great win, when Luka's questionable, you seem like you maybe got them on the run there, and you lose by 30 at home?
It is, you know, when you don't make shots, these things happen.
That's when Ballmer should go into a press conference and say, it's all about the players, man. Harden, I'm releasing
it.
And
that's the thing. It's not like the coach goes out and shoots 35% in this game and can't make a three. But if they lose Game 6 and are out, there will be questions. when any team, especially with these that have the superstars, goes out of the playoffs early, there's always going to be questions about the coach because they can't get rid of the entire team. You know, the Ishbia thing, Ishbia said yesterday that 26, and I don't know why he chose the number 26. I'm not sure who the other three are, but he said 26 of 20, the other 29 GMs would trade rosters right now with Phoenix.
He went 26.
He did, with 26. I don't know which three teams he believes wouldn't. Like, I'd assume Denver. Like, I don't know.
Boston.
I don't know who these three teams are that he believes, okay, like, wouldn't. But, like, if he thinks 26 of 29 GMs right now would trade, and he even said, like, trade rosters, our current draft situation, everything. Like, they would right now swap places with us. He's an idiot.
He's crazy. I mean, come on, right off.
I guess I would assume maybe he's putting Minnesota, since they're the ones that swept him. Maybe he's going to leave it. He'll say Minnesota, Denver, Boston, okay, are his three teams. So, I don't know. I have no idea.
So he just said 26. City, so Oklahoma City would swap right now. The Grizzlies wouldn't swap.
There's a, I mean, I get it.
Maybe the Washington Wizards would, but.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the true number is, but it ain't. It's nowhere near 26.
Not even close. Like, not even close.
I would say.
The headaches that they have, the situation they're in financially, which puts them against the wall as far as being able to make any type of moves. They don't have any assets. They don't have picks. No. You don't want to. You want to trade for that headache.
Like, just in the Western Conference, I don't know. Certainly Oklahoma City wouldn't. Denver wouldn't. Minnesota wouldn't. Grizzlies wouldn't. Pelicans, I don't know. I don't think the Pelicans would. I don't think Sacramento would.
Maybe Utah. Houston wouldn't. I don't think, but those young players, San Antonio with Victor Wembanyama, I mean, you're going to trade him away?
Portland certainly would. Utah would.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State might at this point. Take a different bunch of guys.
Yeah, and lose Steph Curry? You don't get to keep Steph.
Lakers.
No, you're not
probably
trading.
Probably should, but wouldn't.
LeBron, yeah. No, it's not. If you're going to make a trade, then that means you have to trade LeBron James. And if you're Golden State, you have to trade Steph Curry. They don't want to do that.
They're getting better. Like, those two are getting better with the Suns roster.
They're getting better, yes, but you're trading away your
They're getting younger.
But you're trading
away. Those teams are getting younger.
You're trading away your legendary player.
You're getting legendary players.
But they're not going to trade their legend. They're not going to do that. The only way that those guys leave their respective teams are free agency, where they decide, that player decides on their own, or they demand a trade, and they're traded. There's no way that those teams are trading away either one of those stars, even they get a little bit better, because they want them to finish their careers as a member of said team. So they wouldn't do it. But again, we are in agreement with Ishbia with that comment.
Now, the Eastern Conference, he could find a lot of teams that would.
There's a number of teams.
They would take their roster.
There's a number of teams. But what did they do this year, Phoenix? They got swept in the first round of the playoffs. They didn't even win a game, for goodness sakes. So we're going to blame Bradley Beal's injury from the beginning of the year?
I would say probably about, he might be able to get 12 of the Eastern Conference teams to do it. The Eastern Conference outside of Boston. Most of those would definitely take Phoenix's roster right now.
Well short of 26, let's just say that. Tonight, two games, Milwaukee at Indiana. So the Pacers have a chance to wrap it up. They lost game 5 in Milwaukee. We don't have any word yet on whether or not Giannis and or Dame are able to play. If they are, Indiana could be in trouble, depending on how well Giannis is moving around. I don't know. I have no idea. It's anybody's guess. This series is over if those guys aren't playing. If they're playing, it could be really interesting. And then you have the Knicks and the Sixers. And already the complaints are coming about this game being a 9 o'clock Eastern tip. You want to stagger the two games. One's Central time zone, one's Eastern time zone. I'm told that the Philadelphia fans, for the most part, are on their best behavior as far as keeping their tickets and not selling their tickets to the Knicks fans. We'll see what happens. If there's a will, there's a way. So we'll see how many New York fans get into, what is it, Wells Fargo in Philly, and are there for game 6. But that's tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern. Philly's a 3.5-point favorite to force a 7th game back at the Garden. And Indiana's an 8.5-point favorite over Milwaukee. Again, before we know any of that information.
The owner, governor, I guess you could say, the governor for the Sixers, Michael Rubin, he purchased 2,000 tickets.
He's not the governor, is he? Mike Rubin?
Michael Rubin, CEO?
Oh, you said the governor.
Yeah, that's what they called him, right?
I don't know what his title is.
I don't know. When you say governor of Pennsylvania, I'm thinking, well,
Mike. You said governor of Pennsylvania. You said governor of the Sixers.
Oh, is that what he said? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the governor of the Sixers.
They call him the governor? Really? Anyway, he's the guy who owned Fanatics, right, or does?
Yeah, with Fanatics and giving it to all the first responders, community organizers.
So they're giving away tickets?
Yeah, to the people that's in the Philly area.
Right. The first responders. The,
yeah.
And watch them start to hawk their tickets. Smokeslam, the world's ultimate barbecue showdown, May 16th through the 18th, is coming to Tom Lee Park on the river in downtown Memphis. And this is going to be a hoot. They've put the festival back in barbecue. More than 50 teams, 5-0, competing for the largest cash purse in barbecue history. Live music all 3 days from the likes of Tone Loc and Rob Bass, Young MC, War, The Barquet, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, DJ M and Walk, a fan-first experience like no other, celebrity chef live cooking demos, that's cool. You can indulge in mouth-watering barbecue samples from the greatest pitmasters in the country. Fireworks every night, carnival with a Ferris wheel, carousel, and games, so it's great for the younger kids. Single day, general admission tickets, just $25. If you want a 3-day pass, it's only $65. To purchase your tickets, find out more about the event, go to smokeslam.com. Again, more details, tickets available at smokeslam.com. Smokeslam, the world's ultimate barbecue showdown, coming to Memphis May 16th through the 18th at Tom Lee Park on the river in downtown Memphis. When we come back, it's our Showboat Showcase. We'll talk to offensive lineman Jordan McRae. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
We are Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 7:31 just underway. On a Thursday, the Showboats back in action at home on Saturday with a clash against the cream of the crop. Unfortunately, it's been Birmingham. Nobody has found the recipe to beat these guys. Maybe it will happen on Saturday as the Showboats will host the Stallions. We are very pleased to be joined in our Showboats Showcase this week. Offensive lineman Jordan McRae, who joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. Jordan, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us. What is it about this Birmingham team? Can you guys figure it out? Is there a remedy to beat these guys?
You know, nobody has figured that out yet, but they're a really good team. You got to give kudos to them. They have a lot of continuity with Coach Skip, and a lot of the players have been there for the past three seasons. So it's going to be a big test, but we know we're putting in a lot of work this week, and we're going to give our best effort and then let the chips fall where they may.
For you guys on the offensive line, in that first meeting, they were able to get to the quarterback a lot. What do they do up front? Is it just the fact that they're good up front, or they do things? What's the challenges for the offensive line against that Birmingham defense?
Well, they do have a lot of good players on the D-line and everywhere on their defense. They have a really good defense. But we made a lot of mistakes that first game. We just got to focus on our techniques, doing what we need to do, and put out a better performance this week to give ourselves a chance to be in the game and win.
I think you guys understand it, and certainly fans of the UFL understand it, that you guys are better, a lot better than that record indicates. But the record is what you are, unfortunately. And it seemed like things kind of went the wrong way after the collapse in that game against San Antonio week two. How hard has that been mentally, really, for the team to get over the hump when you have one that just slips through your fingers?
Yeah, that game was pretty tough. But, you know, we can't blame just that game for the some of the shortcomings that we have had.
Right.
We just got to play better as an offense, as a defense, and on special teams, just in total to try to right this ship, you know what I mean? And I think that we will. We just got to keep practicing the way that we have been and bleed some of the mistakes that we have had in these games to get us over that hump.
For you, you last year we're here, you're playing center. This year, now with the way it, you're playing guard on this. How big of a difference is there between the different positions on the offensive line? How big of an adjustment is it from one to the other?
In the interior, honestly, in my opinion, at least, it's not that big of a difference going from guard to tackle, just with the type of body type that you're going to be playing, the type of athletic guys you'll be playing from a three technique to a defensive end is a little bit different. In center, you have to be a little, you have to know the whole offense, make sure everybody's on the same page. So everyone has their challenges, but you know, my dad was my offensive line coach in high school, and then I had a great coach. Yeah, I had a great coach in college. So one of the things that I always taught was to be a position versatile. So yeah, to make sure that, you know, you can play more. So it hasn't been that big of a challenge at all for me. But if you only train at one position, then, yeah, I can see it being difficult. But pretty much my entire career has been making sure that I could be able to do every position.
Are schemes pretty much the same for whether it's Cookus or Troy Williams?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Are the schemes, the offensive game plan on from the line standpoint, is it pretty much the same whether it's Cookus or Troy Williams at quarterback?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it'll be pretty much the same. Obviously, if Troy's in there, we want to use a little bit of his athletic ability. Mm-hmm. But Case isn't a bad athlete either, so whatever Troy can do, Case can also do. But if Troy's in there, then we might have a little bit more of a run threat.
So you have been a little bit of everywhere in various leagues, from NFL to the XFL to the AAF to the USFL, now the UFL, IFL. Like,
you love football.
You've been through them all. So what is it that keeps you going, and that just you keep that opportunity to keep playing football?
Yeah, no, I love playing the game. I'm getting a little bit older. Honestly, I've been to the NFL. I played on four different teams there. My dream is to play in a regular season game in the NFL. So that being in the back of my mind, and then also just being able to do this for a living is a blessing. So I take it very serious. I'm very blessed to be in the position I'm in. And until I'm not good enough to play anymore, I'm going to keep playing. So,
Showboat's offensive lineman Jordan McCray joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Okay. Since Eli brought it up, I'm going to test you, Jordan. Ready? I'm going to test you. All right. The resume, starting from the first team, and you came out of UCF 2014, folks. So this has been 10 years in the making of his professional football career. Let's see if you can name all the teams in order. Okay? Ready? Go.
Okay. Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all NFL. Orlando Predators of the AFL. Cleveland Gladiators of the AFL. Baltimore Brigade of the AFL 2018. 2019, Orlando Apollos AAF. Chicago Bears, also in 2019, NFL. Tampa Bay Vipers of the XFL, the first XFL in 2020. 2021, Massachusetts Pirates in the IFL. 2022, Birmingham Stallions, a championship team there. 2023, I played in the XFL for the San Antonio Brahmas. Didn't actually play in the game because I got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got healthy, came to the Memphis Showboats, and that's why I'm here now.
Wow.
not only do the teams, that deserves a golf clap. Got all the leagues correct. Like that's there's a lot of leagues in there. Like to get all those letters correct, that's impressive stuff. So your last year at UCF was that the Fiesta Bowl year?
That was, yes, sir.
So that was the George O'Leary Fiesta Bowl team. So you guys were really good. Then it went down. Of course, then they came back and they did the undefeated season after that. But you, how many times did you play Memphis when you were at UCF?
Oh, four times. We played them every year.
You did play them every year. Okay. So what are your memories against Memphis from your college days?
I might be mistaken. I'm pretty sure I went 4-0 versus Memphis. Yeah. But the last time we played them was actually probably the most memorable because they were struggling as a team, but they didn't struggle versus us. we had to win the game on I think a last second play, maybe like 20 seconds left in the game. We had to have a drive to win it. We only won by like 3 points. Yeah, it was a tough game, and probably one of the best players I played against in college was Dontari Poe.
Oh yes. Yeah.
That's probably the memory that I remember the most, and especially the last game and then playing against Poe. So
two of those games obviously were here in Memphis at the stadium you now mm-hmm. play in as a member of the Showboats. What's it been like this year? And I know they had the pods last year with the two teams in those cities, but now it's everybody in Arlington. You fly in for the games. And we had a member from the Showboats front office yesterday on talking about the situation, which is kind of tough on everybody. But when you guys get here on Friday, you go into the community, you do things, you're trying to connect to the city of Memphis as best as you can, and then you go out there and play on Saturday, or the other 5 weeks you're playing on the road. What's it been like?
Mm-hmm. I love being in Memphis. You know, being able to be in a community, actually not having to travel for a home game. So it's been a little bit difficult because, you know, the only game that we won't travel this year is when we play Arlington. So it's not like it's a little bit different of a situation. But being able to play in Memphis still is a good thing for us. The fans have been great. We just got to give them a better product and get them a W. But it's been a little different, but. Shoot, we're all blessed to still be here, be able to play right. This opportunity that we've been given, you know.
You mentioned that, you know, that dream is to play in a regular season game in the NFL. Like, when you're in those NFL camps and battling it out, like, what is – because that, again, like, obviously what your dream is, and you're right there, you're on that doorstep, but it's like you can't break through. Does it get frustrating? What is the feeling when you're in those camps and can't quite get to that point you're trying to get to?
It is a little bit frustrating, for sure, but you just got to keep plugging away, man. Because you got to think of it from both sides of the coin. Like, it's frustrating. I'm super close. I'm not there yet. But then there's guys who honestly are just talented, or maybe even more talented than I am, that don't even get that opportunity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I got to be happy. It's frustrating, but I can't be too frustrated where I don't realize how blessed I am to be right here. And being this close in leagues like this still allow me the opportunity to get better, to improve my craft, and to have eyes on me to get back to that level is a great thing, man. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but it's part of the game. Everybody who's been in my position has gone through it, so you got to deal with it how it comes.
And that's, I guess, you know, in this league, like, there are so many of those guys, and that's, I'm sure they're kind of like almost like commiserating with each other, like, man, we've all been there, we've all gotten so close, and now we're all trying that same, you're still battling for that same goal, is to get back there. When you were in the NFL organizations, like, was there one that you thought, like, this is the one that it's going to work out for me more than the others?
So my last year in a NFL training camp with the Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. I thought for sure that was going to be the one. I pretty much started every preseason game because Matt Nagy was our coach. So he didn't want the starters didn't play at all in the preseason. They played three snaps. And then they played three. The first drive, they went three and out. Yeah, in the first game, and that was it. So from the first game, second game, and third game, fourth game, I pretty much played almost every snap in the preseason. Played really well, did really well, and I thought for sure I had, you know, done enough to make the team, stay on the team, and but it just didn't work out that way. So. But that's probably the best ball I played in the NFL camp, and the closest I think I was.
Well, first of all, you got an amazing attitude and stick-to-itiveness, which is you know, great to have in any walk of life. Before we let you go, so let me ask you this. Taking the NFL, the ultimate football, out of the equation, how good this 2024 first year of the UFL, obviously the USFL and the XFL combined, you've played in a bunch of different leagues. How good is this football compared to all the leagues you've played in, minus the NFL?
it's the best for sure. Yeah, it's not close. You know, the XFL last year had great competition. The USFL had great competition. But just with how things went, going from 16 teams in the spring to only 8 teams in the spring,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty much like the best of the best of those players. And it's still a lot of really, really good players that didn't get the opportunity to play. So this by far, talent-wise, is the best league that I played in outside of the NFL for sure.
Well, Jordan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We want to wish you nothing but the best and wish this team nothing but the best. Maybe you'll find the formula, and then every team will be asking for the formula, the recipe, to be able to beat Birmingham on Saturday. Hopefully a big crowd as well comes out to watch you guys play the Birmingham Stallions. Jordan, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Good guys.
There's a lot of great stories in the league. Like these guys, again, like they that have just been doing this for year after year after year into all those different leagues because they just want to keep playing football. And they're all trying to still attain that ultimate dream. But somebody like him who's a little bit older, probably not going to happen, but he just loves playing the game. And as long as they give him an opportunity and a league to do it in, mm-hmm. he's going to go out there and bang heads with people for 3 hours on every week.
We need to take a timeout. We'll come back with more here on Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli right after this quick message right here on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by the Big Green Egg. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. You know that
I was looking at this list from Pro Football Network. Top prospects, way too early, but top prospects for the NFL draft for next year. Luther Burden III, number one.
He's no doubt he's going to be... He's going to be way up there.
The Missouri wide receiver, the speedster who Memphis played against last year in St. Louis, had a bird's eye view of his speed and ability to catch the ball. Walter Nolan of Ole Miss is number 7. Defensive tackle James Pierce Jr., edge rusher for Tennessee, is number 8 on that list of the top 10 very, very early prospects for the NFL draft next year, according to Pro Football Network. In just a few moments, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Big Green Egg. Kyle Storms is going to join us from the Big Green Egg. Then coming up in hour number 2, Kerry Miller returns as we talk Major League Baseball. There's a lot to get to, including the smoking Minnesota Twins, who have won 10 straight games, and a great series between the Yankees and the Orioles that we'll get to. Did you see the story, Eli, about, unfortunately, another Porter brother getting in trouble?
I did not.
Javon Porter, who's the younger brother of Michael Porter Jr.
He's the one that's in the transfer portal, right?
Well, he transferred. He went from Pepperdine to Loyola Marymount. He was arrested a few days ago on suspicion of DWI in Missouri. He's 20 years old, so first of all, he's not even legal to drink. But suspicion of DWI, he's arrested. That's the younger brother. Brother Jonte, of course, was banned from the NBA for gambling. And then brother Coben was sentenced to 6 years in prison for a drunk driving crash that killed a woman. Wow.
At least Michael's playing well.
Michael's playing well, but either that's some bad luck, some bad fortunes, or just wrong place, wrong time, or just stupidity, whatever. However you want to bundle it up for the Porter brothers, other than Michael Porter, who is crushing it for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, he shot nearly 50% is shooting nearly 50% from three, or did, I guess, in the series.
And you got to think, I mean, these are his brothers. So that's pretty good focus to be able to, you know, take this out of your mindset when you get between the lines and go and play as well as he has. And I think most athletes are able to mentally, some aren't always mentally sharp, but most of them are mentally sharp where they can overcome obstacles happening in their personal life to be able to play at a high level. But, it's a shame to see all that happen there to one family.
Also got a lot of pressure on him because I'm sure Jonte's got money on him.
Easy now. Major League Baseball suspensions from the Milwaukee Tampa Bay.
You don't think he's
baseball.
Betting now? He's he was betting when he couldn't do it. You don't think he's betting now?
Well, he's not going to have any money soon to be able to bet, right? Because he doesn't have a job anymore.
That's what he's trying to win money betting.
Baseball last night or yesterday afternoon, they announced the suspensions from the Milwaukee Tampa Bay base brawl. It was Abner Uribe, the pitcher from Milwaukee. He got 6 games. Freddie Peralta got 5 games. Jose Siri for Tampa Bay got 3 games. That was quickly changed to 2. And then skipper Pat Murphy of the Brewers, he also got 2 games. Now Peralta and Uribe, they're going to fight that charge of 5 games, 6 games respectively. We'll see if that number comes down. It probably will.
This hour of our program is brought to each and every day by the folks at the Big Green Egg. And, of course, I always talk about the great weather this time of year here in Memphis. Great time to be out on the grill. Of course, May is a big month when it comes to barbecue here in Memphis. And the folks from the Big Green Egg, I know we're going to be in town this month as well. Kyle Storms, who's been on with us before from the Big Green Egg, joins us now. Kyle, how are you today?
Hey, Kyle.
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing today?
Doing fantastic. Obviously, I talk about the Big Green Egg all the time. It's changed my life since getting that Big Green Egg when it comes to grilling. It's absolutely the best there is. But you guys are going to be in town, I know, this month. So what are the things you've got going on this month when you're going to be here in town in Memphis?
Yes, the Big Green Egg RV bus is going to be at Memphis in May. We're going to be cooking up samples for everyone in the VIP pit, so you can buy your taster tickets on the website at Memphis in May. And, you know, with Memphis in May is actually National Barbecue Month, so it's a big month out of the year. But another big thing for us is Big Green Egg actually turned 50.
Wow.
This year, pretty much this month.
How about that? See, I didn't even realize it. I turned 50 this year as well. Me and the Big Green Egg are the same age. That's good. I did not realize that. Or is there? Did I see that also? Folks will have a chance to win a Big Green Egg at Memphis in May.
I'm not sure about that one. We do typically have that there, so you can find the details at Memphis in May. Website.
I'm pretty sure that I did see that they will be giving away a Big Green Egg out there, so you'll have an opportunity to win that. But folks, I always talk about the Big Green Egg, the versatility, everything else, but can you kind of again give folks the gist of what makes the Big Green Egg the best grill there is?
Yes. So longevity. You talk to customers out there that have had their egg 20, 25, 30, 40 years. There's no other grill that you can have out there for that long, that lasts that long. And then the versatility. You hear customers talking about how they can smoke, bake, roast, sear, grill, use it like a brick oven, you know, cookies, cakes, cobblers, pies, pizzas, you name it. You can do anything on the Big Green Egg, and there's no other grill out there that you can get below 200 degrees and as well as over 900 degrees. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is just unmatched. But really the biggest part is the flavor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyone who's had food off the Big Green Egg can attest to it. It just, the food just tastes better. Half of that comes from the fact that we use lumpwood charcoal. That's kind of like our salt and pepper secret recipe in there. But also the fact that the Big Green Egg's made out of ceramic. Ceramic's an insulator. So you're insulating more heat, which means you're retaining more moisture in your food. You can literally do nothing different on a Big Green Egg than what you're currently doing on your grill at home, and your food's just going to come out more moist and juicy, and the radiant heat from the ceramic gives you that better crust on the outside. So literally on your bite, you're crunching into a perfect crisp on chicken skin, bark on pulled pork, sear on steak, and then having, you know, fantastic juiciness and flavor on the inside.
It is absolutely amazing. Plus, you guys have your various rubs and sauces and all that stuff that you can add to these things, which are absolutely fantastic, and I use all the time as well. I still haven't gotten to try that. I haven't done any of the baking. I haven't done any pies or any of that stuff yet. I think I've done everything else on my Big Green Egg, but I'm just not brave enough, I think, to try those yet.
Well, if you want to do something super simple with baking, I do this at demos all the time. It's called a dump cake. You can choose any kind of flavor of Pop-Tart you want, put it at the bottom of a 13 by 9 pan. I do brown sugar and cinnamon. Everyone likes those. And then two cans of pie filling, whatever flavor you want. Apple and peach is always a favorite. And then a whole cake of box, a whole box of cake mix on top. And then you take a stick of butter, slice it up into squares, and just evenly put it over top. And, I mean, you don't even have to be at an exact temperature. Anywhere between 350 or 400, just let it go until the top gets kind of like a pie crust look. And it is fantastic. Super simple.
Wow, that sounds pretty interesting. A little Pop-Tart pie.
Pop-Tart pie.
That's interesting. I like that. I like that. That's awesome.
It's like a cobbler, but we call it a dump cake because literally you can dump almost anything into the pan and it comes out awesome.
I need that. I need the easy as possible when it comes to baking. That's for sure.
And you, the other thing you want easy is the cleanup. Is the cleanup easy with the Big Green Egg?
Yes, with the Big Green Egg, there's no drip pans. There's no grease pans. There's no any of that. Any of your drippings from your food or your barbecue sauce just falls onto the charcoal, smolders, and returns flavor back to your food. And then as far as the grates, you know, our grates are made of the best 304 stainless. You can be very abrasive to those. You're not going to hurt those. The only thing that you do want to do is before every time that you cook, you want to stir up that charcoal. That way you knock that dead ash off and that dead ash falls down to the bottom. That way you've got good airflow. And then about once every seven cooks, you'll have enough ash accumulated at the bottom of that. And you can use our ash tool to scrape it out, or you can just shot back out the ash. But, yeah, that's only once every seven times you cook. If you have a fire bowl in there where you just pull it out and then you shake your charcoal and the ash stays outside of your egg, then you're only cleaning the ash out of the bottom out of there like once every 10 to 20 times you cook, depending on what you're cooking.
Yeah, because I've got the one of the bowls. Yeah, it's very, very simple as far as that is concerned. All right, so again, tell everybody where you'll be when it comes to Memphis in May in the World Championship Barbecue Cooking Contest.
You can find us at Memphis in May and Barbecue Alley. It's one of the only places where you can actually try to sample food. We'll be serving food from Thursday all the way through Sunday.
That sounds great, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. As always, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Y'all have a great one. Thank you for having me on.
Kyle Storms from the Big Green Egg.
All right. Hour two on the way, folks. That includes Kerry Miller. We'll talk some Major League Baseball. We'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. But first, we'll talk some Memphis Tigers basketball recruiting. What's the latest? And what's the latest with the coaching situation as far as Penny Hardaway's staff is concerned? All that coming up at hour two. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.